The final gavel fell on this year's goings-on in the state legislature last night, or maybe we should say the final gavels. In a break with tradition, the House and Senate did not adjourn at the same moment. In fact, the Senate pushed on past the midnight deadline, and the dust is still settling. Here to sift through it are very fine and very tired Capitol correspondents Michelle Wirth, who covers the Senate, Jonathan Shapiro, who watches the House. Welcome to you both.
Hey,
you're both have your eyes open. And
we're trying at this point.
Michelle, let's start with you. The Religious Freedom Bill, sponsored by Senator Josh McCoon, a Columbus Republican, did not make it to a floor vote, but that does not mean it's dead, does it?
It's far from dead, actually, Dennis. The General Assembly, it's a two-year legislative session. This is the first year of that session. So a bill actually stops in the place where it last was. So it'll stop in the House committee where it did not move forward from there. And Senator Josh McCoon has vowed that he is going to bring it back next year. So we will definitely be seeing this again next legislative session.
Did Senator McCoon indicate whether or not he'll eventually accept the non-discrimination language that Indiana has now put in their law, and actually that some House Republicans tried to put in his bill when it was in that committee where it stopped?
He definitely didn't indicate that to me. In fact, whenever we asked him about it, he said that language is too broad. And he said, you know, if somebody wants to create a statewide anti-discrimination bill, they're welcome to do that.
There have been many attempts over the years.
That was his line. And so he didn't seem open to it. Although, you know, as well as I do, you never want to say never when it comes to the legislative process, because, you know, when you're trying to make compromises and after 2 years of it failing, you know, who knows what can happen, but he at least wasn't open to it at all yesterday.
And that was another thing in the committee process on the House side, in that House Judiciary Committee. There were three Republicans that joined six Democrats in that committee that insisted on that anti-discrimination language. And I've spoken with those three lawmakers since then, and they still feel very strongly that that is necessary for any bill in the future to move forward, that's explicit anti-discrimination language. That's Mike Jacobs over in DeKalb County, Representative Jacobs. That's Jay Powell up in Camilla. And that's also Beth Baskin, who took over for Ed Lindsay, who was the former majority whip.
Michelle, did Senator McCoon, did he give any indication as to why he thought the bill didn't make it again?
Well, he says that it's because of misinformation that was out there. You know, he keeps saying that this is not about discrimination. It's simply about, you know, protecting the rights of the those who have a religious faith and to make sure that the government doesn't infringe on those rights. And he kept saying it's not about discrimination. And, you know, there was billboards out there, you know, saying that it could lead to child abuse. And he just said it went way too far and that there was a lot of misinformation. And I asked him, you know, what about Indiana? What about Arkansas? And he seemed to think that didn't help at all. You know, he didn't say that that was the reason that the bill died, but, you know, he just thought it got more attention and made things even worse than they were and got more reaction. And McCoon had this to say, though, about his bill dying on the House side this year.
People of faith are considered less important to the people that are in charge of this process than corporate CEOs. I think that's pretty much the message is being sent.
So, Michelle, in McCoon is he's dead set on getting this bill passed. What are you also hearing from his fellow Republicans? Are they saying, look, maybe it's time we should try to pull him in and say, look, let's get rid of this. Let's move on to something else. What are you hearing? Are you hearing anything else from his fellow Republicans?
Actually, it was to the contrary, Rose.
Really?
Yeah. In the Senate yesterday, there was at least three or four other Republicans who got up and defended the bill and, you know, said, this is a travesty, the fact that it's not moving forward. And I never thought I would see this, especially from when, you know, the Republican Party is in control.
Yeah. No. And that's the same indication on in both chambers. On the House side, Christian Coomer, one of Governor Deal's floor leaders, was very supportive of it, wanted it to move forward. There was also a bill like McCoon's on the House side that ended up stalling, and the focus shifted to McCoon's. But there's a lot of appetite for this bill moving forward. And Governor Deal has also said, he suggested as long as it imitates the federal law, that he would be supportive of that. He would sign it. And so next year, it's likely we're going to see it again.
Governor Deal did indicate, although he didn't say it in so many words, but there was at least an indication that maybe that non-discrimination language should be in there. I can only imagine it's going to be a very busy summer and fall, and we should point out next year's an election year, so the atmosphere around this one will be something come January.
And what's really going to affect this whole equation is the upcoming Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage. I mean, that's really going to amplify any future debates about this.
Jonathan, over on the House side, the big transportation spending bill has already gone to Governor Deal's desk. But last night, there was some last-minute work and some changes on a bill that really supervises MARTA's spending. And we had even talked about that a few days ago. So how did that eventually pan out?
Well, so the context of it is that on Tuesday night, both chambers passed this $900 million transportation plan. It was pretty much the focus of the whole legislative session. Senate Democrats had, during the committee process and before it went into conference committee, had voted in lockstep against the larger transportation bill. Coming out of conference committee, behind the scenes, Senate Democrats met with the governor's people and with leadership. And one of the key elements of gaining Senate Democrats' support...
And they needed it, was that
MARTA would be allowed, or the MARTA counties, which is Fulton, DeKalb, and Clayton counties, would be allowed to raise the MARTA sales tax from 1% to 1.5%. And that potentially would be a windfall for the transit agency, about $200 million per year, which MARTA was saying could fully fund the operations, the construction and operations of these three expansion projects that they've been talking about for years and years. And so there was an understanding going into that Tuesday vote that if the transportation plan passed with Senate Democratic support, that MARTA sales tax increase would go through on the last day of session. Now, the Senate did its part on Tuesday. On Thursday, when it went over to the House for final approval, the House ultimately stripped the MARTA sales tax increase from a larger bill, from a bill that had to do with MARTA spending,
MARTA spending restrictions, the 50-50
handcuffs.
The,
that's right.
Yep. On how they
and
spend
so they,
their sales tax money.
So they stripped that the sales tax from that, which took Senate Democrats by surprise. I mean, they really felt blindsided by that. I talked to Senator Nan Orrock, who said that a lot of trust is eroded because that amendment was stripped. Now, I also talked to the number one Democrat in the Senate, the minority leader, Steve Henson. And, you know, he was trying to say that, listen, you know, this wasn't exactly a broken promise. There was an understanding that this would be finalized. But, you know, he was trying to put a positive spin on it, saying that Senate Democrats were considering supporting the transportation plan anyway without the MARTA sales tax increase, and that it's going to ultimately benefit Democratic priorities in the future. And so here's what he had to say about that.
Nobody can make you an absolute promise. We all know that. You know, the governor spent over 90% of this year's surplus money to pay down austerity cuts to education. We know that he plans to use the majority of next year's surplus to pay for education. The transportation bill helps with that.
Jonathan, there was another issue that we've talked about before on this program, and that's about the commitments made on the minority participation in the contracts. Now, was that included, or are there any other deals that made it possible to get this bill through?
So again, this is how Senate Democrats and Democrats overall are putting a positive spin on it. They didn't get a lot of the tangible things that they were going after at the beginning of the transportation debate, which was like a dedicated stream of funding for transit. They didn't get that. The minority contracting issue, there was nothing actually written in the bill that said that there's a certain percentage of these road and bridge projects that have to go to minority contracts or small businesses. But what they did get was from the governor's office and from DOT a commitment to act on a 2012 report that identified issues identified problems with the contracting process and that they were leaving out minority contractors. And so there's been a commitment from the governor's office and a commitment to do an executive action and for DOT, for the Department of Transportation, to move forward and really try to address minority contract and get them more involved. But that's something that's an understanding right now, much like the MARTA sales tax. So it's not, for sure, it's nothing written in the bill, but they do have a commitment from the governor's office.
We're talking with our Capitol correspondents, WABE's Michelle Wirth and WABE's Jonathan Shapiro. Jonathan, I want to shift gears here to another issue we've been watching. It's the new cities. Now, there were two proposed new cities that beat the deadline. Two did not. What happened to sort of seal the deal for Tucker and La Vista Hills?
Yeah, so they went to conference committee. The conference committee came out with a compromise. It was 5-1 ultimately. It passed both chambers overwhelmingly. There in the House, out of 180 votes, there was about 40 or 50 that voted against it. But, you know, passed with over 100 votes. They were disputing this area. And so La Vista Hill stretches from an area right outside of Emory University, mm-hmm. for those familiar, to the eastern perimeter of 285. Tucker, meanwhile, is east of the perimeter and down below, south of 285. But they do connect to each other. And there was a dispute over an area on La Vista Hill's eastern part and Tucker's western part, and they basically just split the disputed area in half.
It was near Livesey Elementary, near that precinct there.
And so,
that elementary.
And so they overwhelmingly passed it. The other city proposals that we had heard about this session got thrown to the wayside. That included Stonecrest, Greenhaven, and Winship. The La Vista Hills, they're going to see that if the governor signs it on a ballot this next year or this November. And if it goes through, La Vista Hills would be a city of the size of about 68,000 people. Tucker would be about 33,000 people.
Michelle, South Fulton was, if I remember right, initially on the Senate agenda for that last day. So what happened to South Fulton?
Well, it was actually tabled, and they pulled it off the table, and they voted on it, and it didn't make it. And what I heard was behind the scenes that Mayor Kasim Reed actually worked to defeat it. I know that he's met privately with some of those residents there about potential annexation, even though he says he's not actively pursuing annexation.
So instead of a separate city, they would become part of Atlanta.
Right, right. But I haven't, you know, that's what Senator Fort said. So haven't confirmed that with the mayor's office, obviously.
So are South Fulton supporters giving up, or are they saying, just as Senator McCoon is on the religious freedom bill, look, it's still alive. We're coming back and picking up where we left off when we get back together next year.
Well, I definitely think they're going to try again. In fact, there were a large group of them there yesterday. They had their T-shirts on. They were very passionate about it. And I know Senator Donzella James was very upset that this didn't move forward.
And Fulton County Commission Chair John Eaves actually put out a statement that he was disappointed that South, in his words, South Fulton had sort of, you know, just been pushed away. And obviously there is a little bit of tension between Chairman Eaves and Mayor Reed. So there could
every
be
once
some...
in a while they talk about that.
Yeah. Yes. So there could be some factions along that line,
yeah,
as well.
And the one thing to keep in mind here is that lawmakers really see these as 2-year sessions. The things that didn't pass this session,
sure,
they don't just completely disappear. They stay in they get tabled. And if they've been through a committee process and if they pass the chamber, that still holds over for next session. And so, you know, a lot of these bills that we were talking about that didn't make the cut yesterday, they're still alive for next year.
That's a good point, Jonathan, because I was going to ask you, you know, what's the process now? Do they have to sort of go through the whole thing again? But you just answered that. They just pick right back up.
That's right.
And actually, there are some bills that have not even started yet that have been introduced that are just sort of waiting. One of them, and either one of you can jump on this, is a major overhaul of the state's tax system. That hasn't even gone anywhere yet, but it could become big next year. Also, horse racing, casino gambling. Yep. And if the religious freedom bill starts up again, we could have a very busy next year during an election year.
Dennis, I don't even want to think about that right now. Yeah. I just want to go to bed.
Exactly.
I'm going to go into hibernation the next few weeks. That's
Me
it.
Too.
Yeah, Michelle, another last-minute survivor, though, last night was this compromise bill on autism insurance coverage for children six and under. This fight's been going on for years. So what are the final details, and why did this bill make it this time when it had failed before?
Okay, well, the final details, it caps autism treatment coverage at $30,000, and it says if there's a more comprehensive plan that ever comes along, this would actually go away. And the reason that it passed this year, it was stalled in a House committee, and Chairman Richard Smith met with Senator Charlie Bethel, and they worked at a compromise. And Senator Smith, you know, one of his problems, he said, well, this only covers about 15% of Georgians. And he also was worried about small businesses and the effect that it would have on small businesses. So what they did was Smith is going to propose another bill next year, which would create a statewide sales tax for autism. And he got the cap lowered. It was originally $35,000. And he also got that part of the bill that says if a more comprehensive approach, which could be his approach that he wants to move forward, if that passes, and then this one would go away. And his approach is supposed to cover all children.
And medical marijuana had been caught up last year. You might remember the autism bill and the medical marijuana bill got caught up with each other. How did the advocates this time get the two bills separated, and both advocates for both of them got at least some of what they wanted?
Well, I think they learned a lesson from last year. I mean, there was a tug of war the last day, and nobody won. I mean, they tried to stick to their positions. And so this year, they at the beginning of the session, they said, we want to keep them separate. And I think once the Senate cleared the way for medical marijuana, the House cleared the way for autism. And I think they ultimately both passed. And, you know, Senator Renee Unterman called it the year of the children.
Well, and speaking of Senator Renee Unterman, the bill that she has, that the safe harbor bill that she wanted passed, that when it looked like there was going to be some opposition, particularly with the language as it relates to the adult entertainment clubs, and we've been talking about that all this week, so there could be another fight brewing. But that was one that it looked like it might not pass with that language, but then ultimately it did pass with the language for the fees or the 1% of their income for the adult entertainment.
Yeah, I was actually really surprised by that vote. The House is really reluctant usually to do anything that could affect small businesses or businesses in general, anything that could be seen as a tax increase, that could be construed as anti-business or any sort of mandate. And that fee, that 1% or the $5,000 annual fee mm-hmm. on adult entertainment businesses, that passed with flying colors. It really wasn't. I mean, there were some debate on the floor. There were some opponents that spoke out, but ultimately it was just maybe a dozen or two dozen Republicans that voted against it out of 180. So yeah, no, that was a big surprise.
And there might be some legal ramifications possibly, but very quickly, let's kind of sum things up. Michelle, a lot of folks, and we've talked about this week, is that it was a different kind of Republican caucus this year in some ways. They were not able, at least the religious conservatives among them, were not able to get religious freedom bill through. And yet at the same time, we found Republicans teaming up with Democrats, as Jonathan mentioned, to pass a transportation bill with a sales tax or with an excise tax increase in it. So this was kind of an interesting session in that way.
That's right. Well, that's exactly what AJC reporter Greg Bluestein asked the governor last night. You know, he said it's kind of a counterintuitive session for Republicans. And Dill responded by saying, you know, sometimes when you're in power, because of need, you have to take on difficult tasks.
And that's what Republicans know and are learning, as we are now in a very vast majority in the General Assembly, is that in governing, you have to ask your members to make hard choices. And sometimes some of your members are not willing to make hard choices. That makes it more difficult to govern. So mere numbers on having an R or a D does not always determine the outcome of legislation, as we saw this year. Now, having bipartisan support on anything, I think, hopefully, lends to a better product in the end.
And Jonathan, on the House side, that certainly, that tax hike issue was a big question in that transportation vote. How did the speaker respond to that?
Yeah, the speaker echoed a lot of that, saying that, there were opponents that have called it a major tax hike. National Group, Grover Norquist's group up in Washington, the Tax Pledge Organization, called it a major tax hike. Speaker Ralston said that, that they did what they needed to do, that there was a need out there and they had to do what they needed to do. And he called a lot of that rhetoric overblown over the last few weeks leading up to the vote. And so Ralston doesn't think that it's going to come back and bite Republicans next election cycle.
I call that a little bit overblown rhetoric, frankly. I think Georgians expect us to do the right thing at the end of the day. And when they see that we stepped up to the plate and addressed a need, I think they're going to approve that.
Jonathan and Michelle, great work as usual. Just want to kind of get your thoughts overall on just this legislative session and what stood out in your mind, anything that I guess will be labeled as, memorable.
I think there were big issues that they addressed this year. I mean, transportation, we could, I live in the city most of us do, and we complain about it all the time. And lawmakers really came up with a package that seeks to address that in a major way. And so I think that's the story of the session, is that, there's decades of underfunded roads and bridges, and to a lesser degree, there was substantive talk about public transit and public transportation. And so, they came together and got a big package done. They got a big deal done.
Michelle? Well, for me, it was just the medical marijuana and the autism treatment coverage bills, because, last year I saw all the tug of war and the struggle back and forth. And then this year I got to see both of those bills move forward. So it was a stark contrast to the last legislative session.
I would just like to add my role in all of this, Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
I made it possible for them to have parking.
You did. That's
she
right.
Did. No, that was very helpful, actually.
There was a breakthrough.
I didn't do much, but I think that little bit. Just wanted to acknowledge my role. That's all.
That's right.
Thank you, Rose.
Feeling part of the group. That's
yep.
all.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You've made the democratic process work.
Mm-hmm.